This is North Sound 1 Friday Sports.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to North Sound 1's Friday Sport, where in the next 60 minutes we bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. And after what seems like months of waiting, the League Cup semi-final is almost upon us, with all roads tomorrow leading to Tynecastle. The most comprehensive preview coming up right here on the North East number one for sport across the region.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1, the best preview of the weekend sport action across the North East of Scotland and beyond.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1, and let's start with our third and final signing of the transfer window, Shea Logan. I spoke to him for Red TV.
I played with Nam again, and then I knew he'd come a few seasons ago, you know, so I've always looked at our results there. I know they're one of the bigger teams in Scotland, but, you know, behind the likes of like Celtic and the Rangers, who, you know, not in this league anymore. But, no, I have a fast, you know, knowledge of Scottish football, and Aberdeen was well known.
And what kind of player can the fans expect to see?
110% player, you know. I love to attack, but also, you know, I can defend. But an attacking fullback, that's what I'd like to say.
And straight into the squad for a cup semi-final, it doesn't get much bigger than that.
Yeah, you know, up until, you know, I heard, I didn't know Aberdeen was in the cup final, you know, after speaking with the manager, you know, he told me about the games that are coming up. There's some big games there, starting with the game on Saturday against St Johnstone, yeah. Which will be a great game to be part of.
And the team right now are enjoying a fairly successful season. You mentioned the semi-final against St Johnstone, a cup tie at Celtic Park the following week, and sitting second in the league table. And a nice time to join.
Yeah, definitely. You know, coming from Brentford, you know, they're top of the league now, coming to another club that's doing very well in the league that they're in. You know, Celtic are probably always going to be favourites to go to win the league. So I know there's a lot of places fighting, a lot of teams fighting for the second spot, and Aberdeen are in that position. So hopefully I can help them secure that second spot for the end of the season.
Good evening, this is North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm Dave McDermott. I'm joined in the studio by Dave Galloway and Andrew Shiney. Good evening, chaps.
Evening, Dave.
Evening, David.
Well, first of all, another signing right out the blue, Andrew. And again, Derek likes to do his business under the radar. And if Mr. Logan can show the kind of form that saw him score that wonder goal against Port Vale earlier this season, then I think the Red Army will be pretty happy with the latest acquisition.
I think they will be, but as you say, completely out of the blue came that signing yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of people like me had to go on to Soccer Base and websites like that to try and find out anything at all about Shea Logan. I think we'll leave it at Shea, because nobody seems to know exactly how to pronounce his Christian name. Is it Shalium?
Shalium, I believe. Shalium. I was speaking to Brent for yesterday.
Right, okay.
They should know.
They ought to know, yes.
You think so.
But yeah, I mean, I did see the YouTube clip of him scoring an absolute screamer against Port Vale. He also scored in his debut for Brentford against Yeovil a couple of years ago, so I would hope that he's ready just to slot straight in. He's played plenty of games this season, so he's going to be match fit, and he's got a good grounding in the game. Obviously, at Manchester City, he was a teammate of Javin Vidal, wasn't he?
Yep.
When he was probably at Main Road, well, maybe at Eastlands, whatever they called it at that time. But the fact that Uwe Rosler saw enough of him at Manchester City to know that he was going to do a job at Brentford was important. But I think the other thing is that he comes from a team that has been used to winning this season. Brentford currently top of League One. So he's not come from a side that's been struggling for victories or anything like that. So it should be easy for him to integrate into the Aberdeen side, because the Dons are a winning team.
And Dave, again, it's been quite an interesting transfer window. January, sometimes not a lot happens, but we've been pretty active, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had players coming in, players going out. We have to wish all the best of luck to Josh McGuinness and Greg Wilde, but I'm very happy with the players that Derek's brought in. I think we've got, you know, the strongest Aberdeen squad I think I can remember for quite some time now.
Yeah, and I think also Chris Clark leaving yesterday, a great servant to the club. The second time round, it probably didn't quite work as well as he hoped, but, you know, he was, you know, an Aberdeen AFC through and through?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a lovely guy, Chris. I mean, I knew him from the time that I worked at Pittodrie, and he supplied one of the best memories that I have of that short spell as press officer there, when he scored that late winner in about the 98th minute at Easter Road.
Oh, goodness me. Because it was the first game of the season, wasn't it?
It was the first game of the season. And we hadn't won at Easter Road for ages, and it was a game that we're really... stole against Hibs. But I remember I was just coming down to the tunnel just as the players came in, and the look in Chris Clark's face that day was a picture. You know, he was thrilled to score the winner for the Dons. He never seemed to score any, cleanly hit goals for Aberdeen. Everything seemed to be a wee bit deflected or sclaffed. But if you ever want to see a great goal from Chris Clark, go to that game. Was it... Plymouth against Torquay, I think it was, when Cowrie Arnesson scored an absolute screamer. You watch the first goal in that game. It's Chris Clark cutting in from the right onto his left peg and hit a rocket into the top right-hand corner.
Okay, yes. Well, back to Mr. Logan, and manager Derek McInnes says the 26-year-old is just what he was after.
He's, for someone that we feel has got that level of experience, that can come in and pick up and play for Aberdeen within the nature of games we've got ahead of us. And when the opportunity came, or he was made available potentially to go out on loan, it was something that we moved quickly to try and see if we can get him here. And he's a player who, when I spoke to him, was keen on it. As soon as he knew that Brentford gave him the blessing to go, he was keen to get here and get started. And obviously, he knows a lot about Aberdeen. He knows Niall from his time there as well. He knows Nicky Weaver and Willow Flood from his time at Man City. He's got a decent pedigree, and hopefully, even though he's coming in as a lone player, he buys into what we're trying to do this season.
Let's get on to the topic now, started by Stav22 and Aberdeen Mad. With a word on Twitter and a Sky Sports journalist is, we're closing in on a loan deal after him. This is being Shay Logan, of course, and that did come to pass, and Andrew has the details of some of the postings.
Yeah, Stuart Milnes-Wigg says, I would play him as he's an experienced right back. He won't know some of his teammates' names, but throw him in. And Stav22, who of course started the thread, says, excellent piece of business. Welcome, Shay. Come on, you Reds. All the best, Hector, and I hope you stake a regular spot in the Reading starting 11. Pie and Bovril Man says, welcome on board, Mr. Logan. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday, helping us to get to a cup final. Transfer windows are so much better nowadays under Derek McInnes. Stand free. The Red Richard, I have to paragraph this one slightly. McInnes doesn't mess around. Just minor tinkering required in the summer. Now we have a decent striker and right back in. A goalie in the summer, left back maybe, and another striker, and we'd be good to go. Not asking too much. Ernie says, sounds like a great signing. Anybody that confesses to be a fullback would be a bonus. Ale, spelled A-L-E, just in case you're wondering if it's a Celtic fan that's managed to sneak on, says, welcome aboard, men. Comes across well in Red TV interview. Asked whether he will settle in quickly and replied, players will be sick of his voice by the end of training tomorrow. True?
Well, just as Josh, there was a period of about 3 hours when the Holocaust that is Josh had left, and then the new lad, who is not shy, and I think exactly what need he will certainly, a very, very confident young man, and very loud as well. So I think he'll be another character for a dressing room that's full of fairly good characters at the moment.
Yeah.
Tenerife Red, he says, I woke up to this great piece of news. Sterling work from the manager. Poldolski 10 says, decent transfer window, a left back and a goalie in the summer, and we should be sorted. What will training consist of today, asks Goggs 1958. Needs to know the essentials, probably. Now, Shay, whatever you do, never, ever pass the ball back to the goalkeeper. That should cover it.
That's a bit cruel.
Take it he's not one of Jamie's biggest fans, but...
Goodness me.
Well, welcome to Shay Logan. We'll look forward to seeing him play.
Absolutely. Well, let's now turn our attention to what is one of the biggest games for Aberdeen Football Club for years, and the gaffer. Let's get back to Derek. He's looking for his men to do themselves justice.
All along, I've said we've got to try and be professional. You know, I think that... we're well aware of what's happening out there, but I do think that we've got to make sure that there's the same focus, same level of concentration that we've shown consistently this season. You know, it's just because it is a bigger game, and of course it's a bigger game than what we've had. It's still the same preparation for us. You know, we want to play the game, not the occasion. We're well aware of the level of support that's going to be there for us and getting right behind us. I think it's important that we utilise that support, you know, and I think that, you know, have three quarters of the ground getting right behind us. I think we've got to try and take full advantage of that. You know, I think that the support have got their part to play. It's not just enough being there in numbers. We're grateful for that. But it's important that they don't get too anxious, to get right behind the team. And however the game's going, whether the game's going well for us, whether it's a stalemate or we have to come from behind, you know, they've got to stay with the team. Because I think, you know, the players have shown real perseverance and determination, not only in the Cups, but to get here and certainly in the league form. And I think together we've got to try and use that support wisely. I think regardless of what's happened previously, whether it's disappointments or whether it's a success the club's had in the past, you know, there's nothing we can do to affect that. You know, this is our first semi-final as a team, as a staff. It's our first semi-final at the club, you know, the first time asking. So, like I say, it's important that we try and make the most of the opportunity. You know, we're happy to be here. We've worked hard to be here. And but we're well aware, you know, we want to try and finish the job. And to do that, we're going to have to beat a good St Johnstone team.
Darren McInnes there on tomorrow's game. Dave, looking forward to it? Is that a bit of an understatement?
Oh, goodness me. I've been trying to stay calm. Yesterday, I had the first feelings of butterflies creeping in. Today, it's gone up several notches. By tomorrow, I think I'll waken up and I'll be wired to the moon. Soon as I waken up, and I'll be like a wee boy in a sweetie shop.
I think we'll need to get something to calm him down in the journey down, I think, Andrew.
Some of that Tony Blackburn stuff that you've got in your iPod will do nicely.
Yeah, that would send me to sleep straight away.
Very good. Right, lots more to come on the big game tomorrow, of course. It is Aberdeen against St Johnstone in the League Cup semi-final at Tynecastle. We'll be back after these.
North Sound 1. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
Yeah, welcome back to Friday Sport. Looking ahead to tomorrow's big, big game, the League Cup semi-final between Aberdeen and St Johnstone at Tynecastle. A key player for the Dons, of course, particularly at set pieces, is likely to be midfielder Barry Robson.
They're a good side. It's going to be a difficult game for us, like it was at McDiarmid Park. We know that, we understand that, but we've prepared well all week. We're making sure that we look at everything in St Johnstone and making sure we look into everything ourselves and try and give a good account ourselves. But we know it's going to be a tough game. We know that we'll be well organised. We know we've got some players that can hurt us, but likewise we have to them. So we know it's going to be tough, but we'll give it all we've got. In my opinion, that's what happens every Saturday, the team that wins it most. And it's whatever team wants to win it most every week, it's going to finish the highest or it's going to win any, get into the next round of any cups. So, yeah, we know it's going to be tough and we will be prepared and we'll, as I said, we'll be excited for the game, but it's all about how hard we work and how well organised we are, and the boys know that how hard we've worked to get to where we are at the moment, and it's going to take a lot more of that to get any further.
Barry Robson there, and hard work, Dave. It's we've seen semi-final teams, the Dons, before, where perhaps some players, the occasion has been too much for them. You don't feel that this squad is going to be guilty of that, and that's what the manager's been stressing. Play the game, not the occasion.
Yeah, you just get the impression that, I know we've had so many cup disappointments over the years, but you just get the impression that something might be a little bit different this time, and that is down to the McInnes factor, basically the belief that he has instilled in the players and also in the supporters. He's got that balance just perfectly right, hasn't he, between, you know, getting carried away and being, you know, downbeat. You know, he keeps everybody's feet on the ground, keeps everybody focused, but also he's really up, he's really lively, he's really, you know, with it and very positive.
Winger Johnny Hayes has told Red TV he's glad that after all the build-up, the big game is nearly here.
The build-up has obviously been online mostly. We're a bit sheltered from that. In terms of in the dressing room, we train, we go home, we come in, think we're training the next day or the next game. And then obviously we've had so many games in the last sort of 6-7 weeks as well. It's been good because we haven't thought about it at all. And this week, obviously, after the game on Saturday against Motherwell, the manager turned our attention to this game. It's just another game. It's not really, I know it's a big game for the fans, but for us, it's just another game. If we get to the final, then you probably get a bit excited, but we haven't really done anything yet.
I mean, the manager's very much said, you know, play the play the game and not the occasion. How easy is it actually to do that?
To be honest, nothing's really different until maybe you go out on the pitch and you see a big crowd. But we've been getting good crowds all season, so it's not really going to make much of a difference to us. Obviously, I know St Johnston probably won't be used to having so many Aberdeen fans there. But yeah, as I said, you don't really think about it. So it'd be different if you're playing at Hampden in front of 50, 60,000 people. Mm-hmm. Then you could maybe get a bit sore overall. But we've been to Tynecastle. We've played there when there's been a good crowd earlier in the season. So as I said, we won't make any difference to us.
Let's get the thoughts now of the opposition boss, Tommy Wright.
I think anybody that watches us or comes down to see training, there's always a spark. You know, the lads are really enthusiastic, attitude spot on. You know, and you know every training session that they do. But there's a bit more noise maybe in the dressing room this week, a bit more banter about the dressing room, and I think they're all looking forward to it.
What would it mean to get St Johnston to a final?
Well, you know, it's not something that we've done too often in our history, so it would mean a lot. But you know, as we said, you know, with how well we've done in Europe, you know, we were wanting to get past Minsk and past the next one to get the group stages. So you know, with a difficult game, you know, Aberdeen are a quality side, and I think that you know, we're going to have to play well to get into the final. But if that does happen, you know, I can't just accept that we're in a final. I mean, we'll have to go on and win the thing. And I think, you know, if we beat Aberdeen, a really good Aberdeen side, you know, we have a good opportunity of going on and winning it.
That was St. Tommy right there. So let's now get our teams, who will we start with? Who do you think Derek's going to... I've put one as well. Seeing it's the semi-final, we can all compare notes.
Okay, Langfield in goals, across the back, Logan, Anderson, Considine and Reynolds. I would have Flood in the Jack sitting position in front of the back four. Then behind the leader of the attack, Rooney, I would have a four of Hayes, Robson, Pollitt and McGinn.
Andrew?
Well, I've got the same starting 11, but I'm going to put it in a 4-4-2 formation. So it would be Langfield, Logan, Anderson. Reynolds, I think, will partner Anderson rather than go to left-back. Andy Considine will be at left-back. Johnny Hayes, Willow Flood, Barry Robson and Peter Pollitt and Rooney and McGinn up top to really put pressure onto the St Johnston defence and go and win the game.
Well, obviously that's not going to be the starting lineup because I've got exactly the same as well. So if all three of us...
I've got five subs, have you?
No, I didn't.
I've got Weaver, Tate, Lowe, Vernon and Smith.
All right, very good.
I haven't got that far yet.
We've not gone into that detail.
Some people don't prepare properly.
One to watch, Andrew?
I think Adam Rooney's got a big part to play tomorrow. Made a good impression last week. Got his first goal for Aberdeen. So I think he'll be keen to add to that and... Okay, Shea Logan's going to be very keen to perform as well, but I'm hoping that it's the attacking players that we're going to see more than the defenders, so I'm going to go for Adam Rooney to score a couple tomorrow and become an instant hero.
Dave?
I'm going to go for Logan on his debut to be the man of the moment. No pressure. I'm sure he can handle it. From what I've heard and from what I've seen of him on video, he looks, you know, the real deal, and I think, you know, he can... obviously defend very well, but he can also come forward, and he's got a heck of a shot on him. I saw a YouTube clip of him, I think from a few months back for Brentford
against Port Vale.
Yeah, scoring an absolute screamer from about 25 yards. You know,
it sounded a bit like Chris Clark's goal against Torquay. Yeah.
Clarkey's one was better.
If he can do something similar, I'll be delighted.
Okay, score.
I will go for Aberdeen 2, St Johnston 0.
I'm going to go one better, 3-0 the Dons.
I'm going for 3-1. So, well, let's any of it, I'm sure we'll be quite happy.
Any win will do.
Yeah, but 6:28, you're listening to Friday Sport here on North Sound 1. The other semi-final is, of course, on Sunday. Hearts face Inverness Cali at Easter Road. Hearts boss Gary Locke's praising his players' professionalism.
These boys have worked, you know, brilliantly all season. I've been, you know, delighted with the way that they've trained, the way that they've went into games. In a lot of games, you know, I felt we've done well and maybe not had the results that we deserve. But the last couple of games, we've got the results that our performances have merited. And you know, I'm delighted more so for the players because it's been a long, hard season for us.
His opposite number at Inverness, John Hughes, says his squad have been working flat out in the build-up to this game.
Through my experience of being a player and playing for a number of clubs, coaching and managing at a number of clubs, I just maybe feel that some of them might think, well, Inverness, we're at Inverness, and they must be doing it different at these bigger clubs, and they must be training harder at these other clubs. Far from it. Honestly, these guys are absolutely training like world champions.
World champions, Inverness, Cali, Thistle. Andrew, how do you see that one going?
It's going to be extremely difficult for Cali Thistle because, like St Johnstone, you know, they haven't won a major cup. St Johnstone have been in a League Cup final, albeit it was 45 years ago, and I do remember it because Celtic only beat them 1-0, Bertie Auld getting the winning goal in that match. But Hearts, 2 weeks ago, and I said, had no chance, but they've won two games back-to-back. They're probably as much in a crest of a wave as they're ever going to be this season. It's going to be extremely difficult for Cali Thistle, but I just think they've got too much experience and too much know-how, but it's going to be really, really tight, and it wouldn't surprise me if it went all the way to penalty kicks.
OK. Dave, who do you think will play in the final?
I think it'll be Aberdeen against Hearts. I think that'll be a cracking game. Let's take nothing for granted, though.
OK, let's not. In the Premiership tomorrow, we've got Killie against Ross County, and County gaffer Derek Adams says Chris Boyd is the obvious danger man to his team.
Without a doubt, you know, he's got a hunger and desire for the game. He's scoring goals, and you know, he's really helped Kilmarnock this season. He was obviously missing on Wednesday night for one reason or another. We'll obviously get an idea of that before Saturday's game.
Andrew, how do you see that one going?
Well, Kilmarnock have signed David Moberg-Carlson, a winger from Sunderland today. That adds a wee bit to their attacking prowess. Ross County surprisingly came back down to earth with a bump against Hearts last week. Quite fancy Killie.
Okie dokie. It's also Partick Thistle against Dundee United. Visiting boss Jackie McNamara has been in the United hot seat for a year now. How does he assess his time at the club?
I think it's been a great learning curve for us on and off the park. I'm really glad I'm here, and I love being here, and obviously my ambition is the same, to try and improve the club, and not just short term but long term, and bring success here.
Dave, how do you see that one going?
I take Dundee United to win by a couple of goals. I'll go for 2-0. Jackie McNamara, it doesn't seem like a year he's been in charge, but I think over the pieces, you know, he's done very well.
Yes, he hasn't done badly at all. On Sunday, we have Celtic against St Mirren, and Neil Lennon today, of course, completing the signing of controversial striker Lee Griffiths.
Well, it's like his attitude on the field, you know, and you know, having spoken to a lot of people who have played with him and worked. You know, he's played for managers. You know, they spoke very highly of him, and yeah, it was quite an engaging personality. You know, he's quite quiet, and you know, like most people who come with reputations, not what you'd expect.
Andrew, Celtic, St Mirren, Big Josh down there, of course. We wish him all the best.
Absolutely, and he's done well at Celtic Park in the past for Aberdeen. Lee Griffiths, an interesting signing. I mean, Australians always say you need to have a bit of the mongrel in yourself if you want to really achieve greatness, and by goodness, he's got plenty of that. But he knows how to score goals. Whether he can do it at a higher level, you know, Champions League remains to be seen, but he'll score goals in the SPFL Premiership, and I can only see one result there, and that's another Celtic victory. But I'd like to see Josh score to break this run that Fraser Forster's got.
Yep, absolutely. Time for another break. Up next, we're taking a look at the Blue Toon after these.
North San Juan with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
To League Two now, and leaders Peter Head are at home to Annan Athletic tomorrow, and Blue Toon boss Jim McAnally knows there's no room for slip-ups.
2 weeks ago, you know, the way it was, Annan, if Annan win their game in hand, they were going above us, so obviously they were the closest challengers, and, you know, if they were to win their game in hand, they still would be, so it's a massive game. I've already been looking at quotes from some players at Annan, and they're seeing it as a cup final for them. So, you know, it's obviously, I mean, I think with 14 games to go, you've got 14 cup finals at this stage of the season. But we will certainly, you know, we'll look forward to it. And there's no doubt that it's a big game. So there's no point in kidding yourself on it's anything other than that. But, you know, we'll just go out and we'll enjoy the day, hopefully.
Jim McAnally, and Dave, he's managed to steady the ship rather impressively after a wee sticky spell early in the season.
Yeah, he's done very well. I mean, it's a pretty competitive league, League Two. You know, Peter Head, 5 points clear of second place. Clyde, seven clear of tomorrow's opponents, Annan Athletic. But Annan have got a game in hand, and if Annan can come up to Balmoor and get a victory, then, you know, it's right back in the melting pot. But as Jim McAnally said to me earlier this week, you know, 14 cup finals to go. Let's try and get as many victories as they can. You know, Peterhead very much in the driving seat, but, you know, the title is still up for grabs. Peterhead are going to have to keep the momentum going.
Indeed, and let's move now to the Highland League. Title hopefuls Inverurie Locos have a tough-looking home game against Bucky Thistle. Of course, if it goes ahead, and already some of these games must be in doubt, but here's Locos striker Neil Gold.
Obviously, we got beat by Bucky last time, so we've obviously have to make amends from last time and hopefully get one over them this time.
Neil Gold there, and Dave has the rest of the Highland League.
Yeah, Devon Vale take on Clachnacuddin. Vale are without suspended midfielder Craig Cowie, while Martin Charlesworth and Scott Fraser have groin injuries. Michel Lombardi remains offshore, but Ricky Wardrop is fit and available to return. Meanwhile, Clach welcome back Scott Graham, Gordon Morrison and Ross Grant to the squad. Forest Mechanics tackle Cove Rangers. Forest midfielder Ross McPherson is suspended following his red card against Brora last weekend, while late decisions will be made on the fitness of Simon Allen and Scott Moore. Cove have a full squad to choose from, while midfielder Clark Bain has joined the club permanently from Inverurie Locos upon completion of his loan deal. Fort William against Brora Rangers. I guess there might be one or two goals here. It's top against bottom at Claggan Park, with the Cataqs looking to pile further misery upon a Fort side who were hit for 9 goals by Fraserburgh last weekend. Fort have Darren Quigg, Ian Fogo and Duncan Campbell unavailable. However, manager Danny Conlon welcomes back Andy Martin, Matt Murphy and Ian McClellan. It's Keith versus Fraserburgh. The Brock enter this one on an impressive run of 8 consecutive Highland League wins, while Keith will aim to recover from the last outing, which ended in an 8-1 defeat against Nairn. Lossiemouth are up against Wick Academy. The two sides were drawn together in the draw for the Breeden Aggregates Highland League Cup, with Wick playing their first game since the departure of Barry Wilson to Elgin City. The Scotties travelled to Murray without injured forward duo of Gary Weir and David Allen, while Sam Mackay is suspended. However, midfielders James Pickles and Craig Shearer could return. Rothes take on for Martin United. Rothes have Ross Gibb, Jack Presley and Kevin Shortreed ruled out for the visit of third place for Martin, whose only absentee is long-term injury victim Mark Smith. It's Strathspey Thistle up against second place Nairn County. The Jags are without Gary Kerr, who is on loan from Nairn and ineligible, obviously, to face his parent club. However, manager Brian Grant could hand debuts to defenders Antonio Vastano and Bobby McRae. The final match we have for you in our preview is Turriff United against Huntly. The two sides locked on 27 points in joint 11th, with a victory for either team possibly enough to take them above Forest, depending on their result against Cove. Turriff have strikers Darren Mackey and Gary Harris ruled out. However, manager Mark Simpson welcomes back midfielder James Begree.
Thanks very much, Dave. Moving to the juniors, now the weekend coverage was going to be starting this evening, but the weather has already played a part.
Absolutely. There was supposed to be a PMAC Group First Division East clash between Bridgedon Thistle and Glen Tanner, but unfortunately that one's fallen foul of the weather, and the rest of the card, you'd say, is very much subject to weather conditions tomorrow. In the PMAC Group Super League, it's Bankery St Tiernan against Longside, Cooter travelling to Deveron Side, East End against Dice Juniors, L United welcome Banks Adee, Russell United are at home to Stonehaven. It's Maud against Hermes and New Elgin against FC Stonywood, all kickoffs at 2 o'clock. In the PMAC Group First Division East, it's Colony Park against Buckenhaven Hearts. Newmacher United travel to Cruden Bay. Fraserburgh United welcome Park Vale, and the cards completed by Sunnybank playing against Lewis United. In the First Division West, it's Bucky Rovers against Port Gordon Victoria. Burghead Thistle against Forest Thistle is going to be played at the Playing Fields Lossiemouth. Nairn St Ninian travel to Dufftown. It's Fockabers against White Hills in our final match this evening. Isle of Ale against Inverness City.
Thanks very much to Andrew there. It's 6:43 almost. Time for another break. We're still English football and rugby. And if we've got time, we'll have a wee look at some of the transfer window happenings elsewhere. All after these.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmore and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
Welcome back to Friday Sport, and let's go back to the Dons game again, because we've still to look at the poll, which this week was, do you think the Dons will reach their first cup final since 2000? This was on Aberdeen Mad, of course, and Dave has the latest score.
Yep, yes is 87.8%. Do you think Aberdeen will reach the first cup final since 2000 tomorrow? No, just 12.2%.
Oh. My question would be, Andrew, where are these 12.2? How
are there 12.2% of St Johnstone fans hacking into the 15-mile
that
site?
That must be could be the only reason why that people would think that. Yeah, right. Let's look down south now. Of course, it's so transfer deadline day there as well. But with a look ahead to the weekend action, here's Richard Newman.
Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho has taken the pressure off his side ahead of their big game at Manchester City on Monday night. He says he's building a side to win titles next season, not during the current campaign. City have been described as the best team in the world by Tottenham boss Tim Sherwood, but Mourinho doesn't agree.
Maybe for Tottenham manager, the planet is England. You will see in the Champions League. In a couple of months, 3-4 months, you will see.
Well, tomorrow's action gets off to a flyer with a Tyne Wear derby. Newcastle have lost their last two matches against Sunderland, and manager Alan Pardew says they've got plenty to make up for.
It's just a little bit bigger than any other game because of the emotion that's involved, and the fans make it special, particularly at our place. And I think it's important we rise to that occasion.
West Ham against Swansea is the other lunchtime game. Then at 3, Manchester United head to Stoke and Tottenham go to Hull. Bottom of the table, Cardiff host Norwich. Fellow strugglers Fulham face Southampton and Everton take on Aston Villa. Arsenal can return to the top of the table on Sunday if they beat Crystal Palace. And although it's Manchester City who are well fancied to win the title, Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger has other ideas.
I believe we have our chances, and what is even more important is that we are fully committed to play our chances with full belief, you know. And I'm convinced we can do it.
Elsewhere on Sunday, fourth place Liverpool are away to West Brom.
That's Richard Newman there. Of course, it is transfer deadline day. And also during the week, we had a bit of verbals with Jose Mourinho and Big Sam.
Oh, that was
who
great.
It was very entertaining. But
great audio.
A bit two-faced, surely, Andrew, of the Chelsea manager.
Totally. I mean, what does he expect? West Ham in relegation danger to go there and play open, expansive football, get hammered 5-0.
They get ripped apart.
And, you know, turn around and say, well, sorry, guys, sorry to the fans, but we played the West Ham way. That's what happens when you play the West Ham way. You get humped. No, I mean, they went there, they had a job to do, they did the job, and Mourinho's just moaning because Chelsea missed so many chances in the match. So simple as that, but, you know, that's Jose for you. But I did love Big Sam's reaction. Maybe not the bleeps in the middle of it,
yeah,
because, you know, having worked in the media, you know, it's just extra work for you. But I did like the fact that, you know, it was almost like Kevin Keegan. I love it. I love it.
Ironically, Dave, of course, on Sunday, we'll probably see Chelsea take the West Ham mantle against Manchester City.
Yeah, you would think so. You'd have to fancy Man City to win that one. You know, Man City are just, I know they've spent ridiculous amounts of money on their squad, but, you know, they've been a joy to watch this season, haven't they?
Certainly have. Rugby now, and Aberdeen Grammar's battle to stay in the Premiership continues when they entertain title-chasing Heriots tomorrow. Head coach Kevin Wyness looks ahead.
We played them earlier this season and we felt a little bit hard done by at the end of the 80 minutes. A game we really felt we should have won, in fact should have been out of sight. So we definitely, for a start we need to win this game. And secondly, you know, we feel we owe Heriots something. And obviously our skipper from last year, Murray Douglas, is now playing for Heriots. So, you know, we'd like to welcome him back to Aberdeen.
I'm sure they would. Good luck to Grammar tomorrow in their fight to avoid the drop. It's also, of course, the start of the Six Nations this weekend. Scotland away to Ireland on Sunday. And Loch Tim Swinson is wanting to win this game.
I think we've got to pressure Ireland. We've got to knock them off the game and not play, let them play their game. We've got to play ours and really impose ourselves on the test.
So rugby, busy weekend of sport. Davis Cup getting underway soon. Guess what I'll be doing when I go home? Of course, despite the fact it's on clay over in the States, Andy Murray will start off against Donald Jung, who's a late replacement for John Isner, who failed a fitness test. So that can only be a positive. And you do expect the doubles. It's likely to be Andy Murray and Colin Fleming. Good Scottish combination, both who play for North of Scotland. So there we are. So a local connection there, just about, against the Bryan brothers. The Bryan brothers.
Tenuous, yeah, just a wee bit.
Are very, very good. But so good luck to Britain in the Davis Cup. Back to football, transfer window. There's been some quite a bit. It seems to me, maybe wrongly, but it seems it's been quite more a busier January window than normal.
Much busier, and I think that the reason for that is that the sides in and around the potential playoff place in the SPFL Premiership are all desperate to strengthen their squads to make sure that they're not in that end of season, you know, curtain cliffhanger. And you know, here's Hibs have taken three guys on loan: Danny Haynes from Notts County, Daniel Boateng from Arsenal, and Duncan Watmore from Sunderland. Partick Thistle have taken in Prince Buabin from Carlisle and George Moncur from West Ham on loan. Kilmarnock, as we mentioned earlier, Carlson from Sunderland, and they've given a 6-month deal to Ismail Bouzid, which is a wee bit surprising given that he's been out injured for the last 3 months and has hardly played any football. But you know, everybody's trying to strengthen their squad. Another loan signing in at Ross County, that makes 7 in the window. Eric Chikos from Slovan Bratislava. Curtis Good from Newcastle United has gone to Dundee United on loan. This seems to be the pattern now. Nobody's spending any money. They're taking players in on loan. And I think the English clubs are quite happy, as Reading were, to have a player like Michael Hector, who came to Aberdeen, got lots of games, and then is ready to go into their team or into their squad, certainly match fit, match hardened. And you know, it's going to be interesting. We're going to see a lot of new faces kicking around in the Scottish game over the next few months. But the only sort of long-term deal that I've heard so far has been the Lee Griffiths one from Wolves to Celtic.
Yeah, and of course, we Adam Rooney, I think, Adam in two and a half years is brilliant. Michael Hector, Dave, a shame he's not coming back, obviously, but best of luck to him. I think all Dons fans will be wishing him all the best.
Yeah.
At Reading.
Absolutely. I think everyone in the Red Army will be looking out for his performances and Reading's results, definitely.
Yep. So, it's almost upon us, guys. We're almost there.
I mean, it's a long, long time since we last won a semi-final. It's 14 years. So
yeah, far too long.
It's time that
ridiculous.
We changed that bit of history. But I'm confident, you know. No Manus, no Scobie, no Davidson. Okay, we've got no Jack and no Shaughnessy, but we've got a much bigger, stronger squad than St Johnstone have. They're going to suffer from their absences much more than we will.
Full commentary, of course, on Red TV with the three of us, Andrew Shiney, Dave Galloway and myself, Dave McDermott. Jim will be on North Sound 1 with updates from Peterhead. Come on, you Reds. Against St Johnstone tomorrow afternoon. That's it. Good night.